Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Cat, that's C-A-T, holding down the fort. Cat, what's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. And if you see me on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. It has been so hot outside, I just feel like shouting out our listeners that are from towns that hosted the Winter Olympics. Our first town is Innsbruck, Austria. It's a great place for winter sports such as skiing, historic buildings, and very lovely natural attractions. Our other place is Oslo, Norway. Didn't really host the Winter Olympics, but Lillehammer's not that far away. Oslo is known for its modern design and architecture, especially the Oslo Opera House. Definitely stands out from the crowd. Giving y'all a round of applause.
Alcohol is a mainstay here on the back porch. They say money can't buy you happiness, but I've got a receipt from the liquor store that tells a different story. Today, I'm having 12-year-old Scotch, hence the last name Scotch, Glenlivet. That's my brand. Cat, what you got?
I am trying me some Bold Rock Bay Crush. I guess it's supposed to be reminiscent of a bay breeze or a sea breeze drink. It's not bad for a canned cocktail.
A little pineapple cranberry. A little
pineapple
mix.
Cranberry into your life. Little sippy sips and maybe some Madras shorts.
Yeah, we're trying the pre-mixies here or there. They're, let's put it this way. They're better than they used to be. Okay, back in our day, they had pre-mixed drinks and they were just brutal. And the ones they have out now, there's a high alcohol content in these things. But it's like they're right there. You know, it's like you can make it better at the house.
Right.
Of course, fresh ingredients right there in your house. But anyway, lazy day, just pour it in the glass over ice, not too bad. All right, sports fans, I got some breaking news for you. You better sit down for this one. Flag football is about to get over. That's right, flag football. They're slowly seeping it into our psyche. If you're a sports fan, me and Kat try to be. It's hard to be a sports fan these days. It's just commercials and look at me. It's kind of hard, but we're still hanging in there. But flag football, trust me, it's coming for your ass. It's going to be in the 2028 next Olympics. It's already a big hit at the college level. And a lot of parents out there who don't want their kids to have brain damage.
Smart.
They're already all in.
Smart parents.
Now, just up the road from here, there's a sign telling parents, we have a flag football league out here. Sign your kid up. Saw it the other day. And, you know, flag football taking over, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. But years and years from now, believe it or not, the NFL, which stands for not for long, will be dissolved. Yes, it's true. The cash cow that the NFL is, with its millions, even billions of dollars that it generates each year, will evidently go tits up due to the brutality of the game. I'm a football fan. Kat's a football fan. I played football.
Okay,
we're all football.
My brother was the star quarterback, captain of the football team. There's pictures of me in football uniforms, basically because I was his personal tackling dummy for most of my life.
So that's
where the
what
person
happened.
Had to try and catch his throws.
Ow. Tight spiral right in the chest. Yeah, the muscle-bound, fast as lightning dudes crashing into each other. It's going to come to a crashing halt at some point, and it's going to be many, many, many decades from now. And that's where flag football comes in. I know you think I'm crazy. I don't care. Now, I know it's more exciting to see if Aaron Rodgers can actually complete a whole season with the hapless New York Jets than watching dudes trying to rip a flag off a guy's hip. Okay, but that's where it's going. And I'm not going to get into the CTE thing, the brain damage that occurs from not just football players, boxers, you know, anybody taking continuous blows to the cranium. But there's already a mass exodus of kids who want nothing to do with the game of football. Yeah, unless you live in Texas. Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty much.
Texas is special in many ways, but we'll leave that alone. And believe it or not, soccer, lacrosse, hell, volleyball are the choices that the young athletes are gravitating to nowadays. And like I said, me and Kat, we're football fans. And I know what you think. You think I'm crazy. But the game of football as we know it, it's got a short lifespan ahead of it. Just look at how the game has evolved. It's all pass first, run second. The running back, which back in my day, the running back was the glorified position on the field other than the quarterback. Now the running back is pretty much disposable. The running back back in the day, star of the show, John Riggins, Larry Zonka, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Franco Harris, Marcus Allen, Thomas Thurman, Mr. Thomas, Eric Dickerson, Gale Sayers, Walter Payton. I mean, I could go on and on. Tony Dorsett. They were all, what, household names. You could name the running backs of half the teams out there. Nowadays, name the running back of the Carolina. Nothing. You don't know who these dudes are. You know, the running back now, it's kind of a use and abuse position. I'm not telling football fans stuff he doesn't know. Once a team gets the lead, then they start running the ball. But it's a pass-oriented league. Not just now. This has been going on for years. And they just run a little bit to keep the defense honest, really. So, check this out. The NFL has already started playing flag football. Can somebody do something with the cat? I'm in deep thought here, okay? The Pro Bowl game, okay? Now, the NFL, they had to do something right with the Pro Bowl game. It was brutal. I bet you I hadn't watched that thing in 20 years. Who did? Well, now the Pro Bowl game is flag football. Pay attention, people. They're getting into your psyche. I'm telling you, it's coming. Flag football, it actually started in the 1940s among the military.
Yes,
how about that?
Especially, what is it, Fort Meade, Maryland is where it started at. Former football players thought it was a good thing.
I'm going to grab his cat by the tail. Where is it at?
Originally called touch and tail football.
Wow. How about that?
We better touch this cat's tail here.
I'm
going to
touch it too. Let it out. Do whatever it wants. Oh, that's right. Don't worry about it. Many high schools have already started flag football programs for females.
Right.
The other lure of this thing.
Okay. So confession, I just watched The Real Housewives of Orange County and they went and did a flag football game. And that was interesting. Look, you see them being quite trying to be athletic.
It's building. It's getting bigger and bigger. Other countries are getting involved. Germany, Canada, they're all in.
They played 2022 World Games in Birmingham, Alabama. Had a demonstration match with U.S. men in Mexico.
All right. When it shows up in 2028 in the Olympics, we'll give it a go. We'll see what it looks like.
But as I was like doing the research today, it's a whole lot different. Like the quarterback is not allowed to run the ball. That's one thing. You can't obstruct the runner. There's no stiff arming. Let's see what else. Punts are snapped from the center. There's no stealing the ball.
I didn't know you could punt. What I'd like to see down the road is males and females on the same team playing flag football. Then we get rid of all the transgender talk, right? It doesn't matter. We're all equal. You know, why not? I mean, the contact is limited. And I bet the fan base would grow very quickly if we had a sport where men and women were competing equally.
I don't know. I just watched the Olympics today, and they had a mixed relay, two guys, two gals. We just won a world record today.
And is that a new event?
It's new to me.
Okay. Anyway, again, it's not going to happen now. But the time will come. Flag football, it's not going to come anywhere near replacing the horrible product that the NFL has become.
It's estimated that 20 million or more and 100 countries are currently playing flag football.
Like I said, way, way, way down the road, it's going to happen.
Also in 2023, 50,000 girls between 6 and 17 played flag football, an increase of 63% of from 2019. So it is a growing sport.
Flag football.
Not just pickleball, baby.
Come into a town near you. Pickleball is fading. All right, let's roll right into one tough son of a bitch. All right, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. And it's just one name. I'm just going to say Ishii.
Yeah, Ishii sounds good.
Ishii. It's I-S-H-I. He only had one name. Born in 1861 or somewhere around there. No birth certificate for Ishii. And somewhere close to the Sierra foothills of Northern California. Now, Ishii was known as the last member of the Native American tribe Yahi.
Right.
Yahi people. He saw his tribe and other Indian tribes located in California, all killed, which was known as the California Genocide back in the, I guess, late 1800s.
Right.
It's estimated that we killed between 9,000 and 16,000 Native Americans as we slowly took over California and just jammed that right out of Mexico's hands, which I don't have a problem with that. But you got to remember, we had already tranced all the way across, right?
Right.
From east coast to west, you know, just annihilating the Indians the whole way.
Bullshit campaign and manifest destiny. I mean, come on.
So Ishii was called the last wild Indian. This story it's a trip. In 1908, he was spotted by surveyors who saw him. I think it was his uncle and his mom and some other female. And they just took off once they were spotted. 3 years later, in 1911, Ishii showed up at a farm in Oroville, California. Just alone, starving. His other relatives had peaced out.
Right.
So he's it. Last Indian on foot.
Last man standing.
Right. Anthropologist at the University of California, Berkeley, took him in, gave him a job as a janitor. And you know why they did that. It's so they can study him, right? And he showed them how they made tools and how they survived. You got to remember, these people living outside, bro.
Right.
Outside. Winter, summer, the whole gig.
It's one thing to go dig up some tools and think, you know how those things were made. That's another thing to have this cat walking around. Hey, this is how we live.
Right. And that's what Ishii did. And again, they gave him food, clothes, told him to go sweep the floors. And he showed the professors, you know, their way of life, how they made bows, arrowheads. I mean, this dude lived in the wilderness for 50 years with just the survival skills that he learned from his ancestors. And again, Ishii, the last surviving Indian. And that makes Ishii one tough son of a bitch. Are we done watching stuff?
We're never done watching anything. Of course, I'm going to talk about a Netflix documentary, which everything seems to be a Netflix documentary lately. But this one, what did pique my interest, it was called Man with a Thousand Kids. It's about this guy who was...
Sperm bank donor.
Major sperm bank donor.
Oh, he was?
Yes.
I was just kidding.
No. And he took it to like a different power.
He got paid.
So he's in the Netherlands. He's, you know, it's giving his stuff to sperm banks, but he's only supposed to do one. He's giving it to all the sperm banks. He's making deals with couples who can't have kids.
He didn't even have a real job.
No, he was okay. His real job was a YouTuber. He's like deals with lesbian couples. He's making deals with
on the side.
Yeah, on the side.
He had a website called "I'll Give It Up."
Anyway, and then he keeps going, and then they're realizing, hey, your guy is my guy, and there's like too much of his creations running around.
Now we might have incest,
right? Because your kids grow up, and there's a thing called the Luke and Laura syndrome. You remember Luke and Laura from
Dynasty?
Dynasty.
It was a soap opera.
No, it's called. Dang it. It's
Days of Our Lives.
No, it's Luke from Skywalker and his sister, Princess Leia. It's Luke and Leia, sorry. Luke and Leia syndrome.
Star Wars famed?
From Star Wars. That you look familiar to me and you're comforting because you kind of look like me. So maybe we'll hook
That's
up.
That's how cousins marry.
Well, unfortunately, you wouldn't know you were cousins or stepbrother or sister, and you would end up...
You thought it was love at first sight. Wrong.
Nope. You're just genetically related to them. So, and then he keeps further. He goes, besides donating to people in the Netherlands, he donates to this thing called Krynos, which sends his sperm all around the world. He sends it to Australia, other countries. You're like looking through a catalog. Oh, he looks like a nice Viking looking guy, a healthy guy with a long blonde hair. Let me get him.
So what was the end result?
So the end result is he was getting flown to fucking Africa to go, as they called, let's bleach Africa. That's what the key pieces of crap were calling, the serial donors were calling it.
All right, I'm going to give the guy props for making bank, for basically playing with himself. But
okay, so in the Dutch guidelines, a donor was only to father 25 kids. This guy went beyond 25 kids. Okay, and then first, okay, let's see. First, he was told by the Dutch, you can't make any more kids, no more kids, no more, you know. And then they caught him further, and then he, you know what the court of the Hague. You know what the Hague is, Steve? It's like the big court there in Europe.
Right.
Told him, no more. You cannot donate to anybody in the world ever again because you were just making too much of your, you know. And it's crazy that this guy, you know.
Is he still going?
There's probably 1,000 kids with this guy's genetic code in them. And maybe the moms don't know. They just picked him out of a...
Is he good looking?
For a
guy. Where is he from?
From the Netherlands. Okay. Yeah, he's a good looking guy.
Okay.
Anyway.
He was innovative in his craft. And
I mean, but the Hague had to stop him. Hey. Jeez Louise. Anyway, it's an interesting documentary. You think of him being altruistic and... I'm going to help these people. No. He's just trying to...
Helping his bank account.
Bank account, basically.
I call that easy money. What's it called?
It's called Man of 1,000 Kids.
Yes, love it. All right. Are we going to do a shot?
We are doing a shot. And it is called the Fat Hooker Shot.
Did you say Fat Hooker?
Fat Hooker.
I never had a Fat Hooker. What do we got?
My goodness. It's vodka, peach schnapps, coconut rum, and OJ.
It does look like orange juice. Give me those ingredients slower.
vodka, peach schnapps, Malibu coconut rum, and orange juice.
All right, here you go, babe. Down the hatch.
Ow. It's like...
there's something wrong. It's almost... something's overriding.
Something, I don't know. It's given me...
Did you say coconut rum?
Yeah.
Can we stop using that? I hate that shit.
Let's you hate that shit.
It's gross. All right, what's that shot called?
Fat hooker.
I'm not saying never get a, never have a fat hooker, but I'm going to say never have a fat hooker. Is that cool?
Okay.
All right, band of the week, let's do it. This week we were bumpered in with awesome young lady named Maggie Rogers, 30 years old, from Easton, Maryland. How about that? Maggie's from the Eastern Shore of Maryland. I missed the ball on this lady. She's freaking awesome. Music was in the cards for her early on. Maggie Rogers can play the harp. She played that in the school orchestra.
Right.
She can play piano, guitar, banjo. Recorded 2 independent albums and 3 studio albums. And I finally woke up. Nominated for a Grammy in the Best New Artist category in 2020. And it's been a steady climb from there. She's opened up for Haim.
Yes.
Kacey Musgrave. She's done all the festivals. Coachella, Newport Folk Festival, Glastonbury, the mother of all festivals. Katie Rogers played it and crushed it. You can go on YouTube and watch it. It's pretty cool.
I think she's going to be my type of girl. You know why? She's an avid hiker. A lot of her music's inspired by nature.
It is. She's, her videos are like that.
Right. She's good friends, Camila Mendez. They both went to NYU together. She has a neurological condition where she sees music as color.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. That is wild.
She's also an environmental activist. I think Maggie would be my type of gal.
Yeah, we're not going to get political. She's got other cases that causes that I'm going to leave out. The Maryland governor, Wes Moore, proclaimed June 16, 2024, as Maggie Rogers Day in the state. That's how killer she is. Today, the song we were bumpered in with is called The Kill. Okay, just go to iTunes and just download the song. Okay, just go get it.
If you want to hear Maggie, August 15th, she's going to be at Munich, Germany, there at the Munich Olympic Stadium.
Yeah, the song The Kill is on Maggie's 2024 album called Don't Forget Me. The Kill is like my new favorite song. I've listened to it 1,000 times. When you listen to it, you can tell she knows how to write, sing, and record, and we need a whole lot more of that these days. Check out Maggie Rogers wherever you get your music. I thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.